Please open your Bibles with me into the book of Psalms, as we will read from Psalm 121. Psalm 121, as you may find it on page 549. In congregation, I have what we may call a mini-series today. Both sermons will have the letter 6 in it. That is, this morning we will have 6 reasons for trusting the Lord. And then this afternoon, the Lord willing, we will consider 6 ways in which we may prepare our hearts, and that for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. So 6 reasons and 6 ways. And so this morning then, we will consider Psalm 121 in a psalm where we will find 6 reasons for trusting the Lord. Let us hear God's holy word, a song of ascents. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So far then, the reading of God's word. And this whole psalm will then be the text as well. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, could you give me one good reason for not trusting in the Lord? Could you give me a reason for telling me that the Lord is unworthy of your or my trust? Now, while you search your heart for the answer, let me give you 6 reasons, as I indicated already, 6 reasons for trusting in the Lord. And all 6 of those reasons are to be found back here in Psalm 121. And so what we basically have here this morning is a running commentary of Psalm 121 with the heading of 6 reasons for trusting in the Lord as the preserver and keeper of his people. Now, the word preserver is to be found in this particular psalm, in the original, actually 6 times. In the King James, it is used the name or the title of keeper, but the same thing, preserver or keeper. So, what the Lord is worthy of trust is that he is the great preserver and he is the keeper of his people. Well then, let us then consider 6 reasons. In the first place, his present help. Secondly, his moving support. 3, his night watch. 4, his full cover. 5, his vital protection. And 6, his eternal security. A little bit unusual. Usually we have 2 or 3 points, but this time 6 points. That doesn't mean that the sermon is any longer or twice as long as normal. But I do want to encourage you to listen attentively and to examine your heart. And I'm looking forward already to presenting the message this afternoon when you're called to prepare your heart for the Lord's Supper. So check yourself if there is that trust in the Lord with you as well. And so the first reason that this psalm says for us is that he is our present help. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, I would dare say that this is one of the basic reasons for trusting in the Lord, you see. Don't you find yourself often, or sometimes at least, in a situation that will have you ask, Lord, help me, help me? You have a problem on hand for which you see no solution. You're in a bind that you seem not to be able to get out of, whatever. And all you can do yet is to lift up your eyes and say, Lord, Lord, help me, help me. Well, you and I, we need to become more and more inclined to seek the Lord's help. Also for, even for worshiping, that we need His help for this. And so, now we know that we cannot expect much or any help from the world today, particularly for that matter. We should not expect any sort of help from the world and from here below. This is why the psalm encourages us to lift up our eyes to the hills. And that's a graphic way of describing to lift up our eyes on high. Because our help comes from on high. Then the psalm adds to such help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. This means that the Lord our God is the almighty helper who has already shown his almighty powers when? Well, during the days of creation, when he created the heavens and the earth and all that exists as we see it today. In other words, if your problem, the problem you see, has no solution, and if for being in a bind you see no relief whatsoever, the Lord God is almighty enough to even create a solution and to create relief for you. This is why you should never hesitate to look up and call out to the Lord and say, help, Lord, help. Then this too yet. We read in our version, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our help comes, it says. Now, this word in the original is not come, but is. Therefore, the sentence can easily be translated this way. My help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That means, you see, that the Lord is our present helper. And those who look to him with confidence will find him to be a present help, you see. Isn't that what Psalm 46 verse 1 also says? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In fact, it emphasizes his present help by stating that God shall help her just at the break of dawn. Now, isn't this a wonderful reason to trust in the Lord, dear people? This gives added weight also to the confessing prayer at the beginning of each worship service, and you've heard it already. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. After all, he is the Almighty One, isn't he? The Almighty Creator. And he is a very present help to all who look to him and who call upon him. Are any of you in trouble? Are any of you in trouble? What is needed for you then to cry out, help, Lord? Again, this is then a good reason for trusting in the Lord. The second reason for trusting in the Lord is what I want to call his moving support, or his support as we make our constant moves. Our text, our psalm text says, he will not allow your foot to be moved, verse 3. And when it says that, it gives us an indication that the Lord watches our every step. We have here a description, therefore, of the Lord's care over us so that we will not slip, so that we will not fall. In a physical sense, we know we need that sort of care already, don't we? How many elderly people do not have this fear of slipping and falling? Well, not only elderly people, also young people at times. An old minister once said the following, and I quote, divine thought extends even to our feet and to our steps, one by one. There is not an inch in all our pathway through this world which is unwatched, on which the eye of God does not rest. We have the promise of a guide who is able to guard us on all the way from falling, even from stumbling, and to bring us at last unharmed, without blemish, to the door of our Father's house. So far the quote. Now, is this not true, especially in a spiritual sense? We are on a journey, all of us, aren't we? We're on a journey. We are on a journey from time to eternity. And if we have our bookings correct, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, after all, we are journeying to the Father's house, you see. Or, to say it more simply, we are journeying towards heaven. But on the way towards heaven, we must go through some rough territory, don't we? That rough territory is called the world, or as it is sometimes called, this present age. And it takes us through the wilderness of temptations, for instance. It takes us sometimes through the valley of the shadow of death as well. It takes us sometimes on a lonely path. It takes us sometimes through darkness and dangers, and sometimes through places even where waves and billows, as it were, roll over you, as you read, for instance, in Psalm 42. But wherever we go through on our journey to heaven, we have this moving support with us, that is the Lord himself. He will not allow our foot to be moved. He will support us so that we will not stumble or fall. Now, I suppose that many of you are well familiar with the story of footprints in the sand. I've seen it in some of the homes as well as a plaque on the wall. There are those two pairs of footprints, yours and the Lord's. But then there are those sections where there's only one pair of footprints. And so you begin to ask, Lord, you said that once I begin to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But Lord, I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I need you the most, you would leave me, Lord. And then the Lord replies, my precious, precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you. During times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you, that I carried you. Dear people, the Lord is our moving support. Those who wait on the Lord, so we are told in Isaiah, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He will not allow your foot to be moved. Do you know from experience something of this kind of support, dear people? If you've learned to lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, you have it. You have that support. And it is another reason, therefore, for trusting in the Lord. The third reason for trusting in the Lord is his night watch. His night watch. Now listen to what our text psalm says. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The verses 3 and 4. Now, do you remember Elijah and the 400 false prophets of Baal? Elijah, he challenged those 400 prophets of Baal that if their Baal god could send fire down upon the altar. But no fire came down upon the altar. Though the prophets danced and they screamed and they cut themselves and so on. And then Elijah actually began to mock those false prophets and said, perhaps your God is sleeping and needs to be awakened. Well, dear people, there is no need whatsoever to fear that the Lord will ever have to be awakened, because He, the Lord God, never sleeps, never slumbers. The most loving mother must sometimes break herself from the bedside of her little sick child for just a minute's rest and a minute's closing of the eye. But in His care for us, the Lord never has to do this. He never slumbers. He never fails to keep His eye on us, not even for a moment. And indeed, the one who watches over us, He will not sleep. We become weary, we become tired, and after a hard day's work, we tend to fall asleep. We may become frail or sickly and require much sleep even. We sometimes nod off to sleep while we're busy reading a book. We do so because our nature has become weakened. Why and how? Because of sin. Because of sin. But there is no such weakness with the Lord our God whatsoever. And we may therefore take comfort in this fact, in knowing that the Lord never sleeps, He never slumbers. He is always awake in order to watch over you, even in the nighttime, even in dark times. C.H. Spurgeon, we've heard of him, a preacher from the 1800s in England. He tells us that a number of years ago, that of course is in the mid-1800s, a certain captain commanded a ship sailing from Liverpool to New York. And on one of those voyages, he also had his family with him on board the ship, including his 8-year-old daughter. One night, when everyone was quietly asleep, there arose a sudden squall of wind, so we are told, which came sweeping over the waters until it struck this vessel, threatening to throw it over the side, tumbling and crashing everything that was on board, awakening the passengers and awakening, expecting imminent peril. Everyone on board was greatly alarmed and uneasy, and some sprang also from their bunks and began to dress that they might be ready for the worst. The captain's little girl, of course, also awoke from her rest, and she asked, "What's the matter?" The frightened child said. They told her that a squall had struck the particular ship, and then she asked, "Is father on deck?" "Yes, your father is on deck." The little thing dropped herself on her pillow again without any fear, and in a few moments was fast asleep again, sweetly, in spite of the wind and the waves. Dear people, no matter how hard the storms hit your life, remember, father's is on deck. Our Lord never sleeps. He never slumbers. He is our night watch. Isn't that a good reason to trust in the Lord? Boys and girls, because of our weakness, you and I, we need our sleep, don't we? Have you ever thought about the need to have a night watch? A night watch. One who watches over you while you are asleep. Well, the Lord is the best choice for this. Therefore, when you go to bed at night, remember to pray the Lord, who never sleeps, who never slumbers, that He would watch over you throughout the whole night. Perhaps it's a prayer that I've learned myself as a child, and I've taught our children as well. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Such trust in the Lord, you see, will give you a good night's rest on it. Again, it's a good reason for trusting in the Lord. Fourth reason for trusting in the Lord is his full cover. We read in our psalm, text psalm, as follows. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Verses 5 and 6. Now, we know that too much sunshine can harm us, skin cancer and whatnot. We read in 2 Kings chapter 4 about a little boy out in the field with his father in the hot sun who suddenly began to cry out, "My head, my head!" Apparently he suffered a sunstroke and he died a few hours later. Now it is possible, therefore, for the sun to smite us by day. Now I also know that in the Middle East, especially in the deserts around Israel, also the desert through which Israel traveled from Egypt to Canaan, that in the Middle East, a moon can also do difficult things, can also do a number on you as well. And yes, I've walked through a particular desert in the middle of the night in order to observe not only the stars, but also the moon. And I did see some of the folk, some of the Bedouins sleeping there. And all of them had their head covered so that the moon would not strike them, because the moon can do terrible things on a person when such a person is asleep. It has been known that some have been blinded or to suffer distortion of sight for a time. And in some of those cases, therefore, a cover was necessary so that the moon would not damage their eyes or their face. Well, now, the Lord, you see, the Lord is such a screen to cover the people of Israel as they traveled from Egypt to the land of Canaan through the desert, through the wilderness, and on to the promised land. The Lord guarded them from heat by day, as the sun from the sun, and by a cloud during the night, and from the cold and the moist beams of the moon by a pillar of fire by night. But in a spiritual sense particularly, the Lord is a screen and he is a full cover to his people, deflecting the rays and harmful beams and insidious influences of the evil one. The Lord, he covers them in a wonderful and in a comforting way, or as it is described for us in Psalm 91, verse 4, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. When I think of the Lord as a full cover for us, I cannot help but think of how the Lord Jesus Christ, by way of his sacrifice, has covered us with what the Bible calls his cloak of righteousness, and how he fully covers us with that righteousness so that we can be kept free from the insidious works of the evil one, from the beams of anger of the Lord God because of sin, but also the insidious works of the evil one, the devil. The righteousness of Christ covers us completely. And so we who have learned to trust in the Lord God are now fully covered by that righteousness of Christ, you see. And we will be fully covered even in the day of judgment as well, when the wrath of God will come down hard upon all those who have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. What an encouragement is this for us, therefore, to know that the Lord is our full cover. And is this not another reason to trust in the Lord? Well, let me give you a fifth reason for trusting in the Lord: his vital protection. We read in our text psalm, The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. Now, there's much evil in this world, isn't there? Evil dictators, evil organizations, evil persecutors, evil plans of some minority groups as well. And such evil plans can become very uncomfortable and even very distressing for you and for me. But they are at their worst. They can only harm the body. They cannot harm the heart and the soul. However, Jesus warns in Matthew 10, verse 28, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And dear people, the greatest evil that harms the soul is, as you know, the evil of sin. But the evil of sin, the evil one, that is the devil, wants to ruin your and my soul. He does that by evil influences and by evil manipulations of the mind. He manages to turn evil thoughts into evil obsessions. He works through evil ways to make them evil habits with us. And he turns evil lusts into soul-ruining dangers. This is a progression there, isn't it? Progression. The Apostle James, he makes this so clear in his letter of James, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desires has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Now, all of this evil, if you are not protected from it, will ruin your soul, that in the end both your body and your soul will be destroyed in hell. But now there's this vital protection, and that comes to us from the Lord. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. And dear people, this is vital, vital. This is a life or death matter for you and for me. Your whole eternity, as it were, hinges on this. Do you have this vital protection, dear people, young people? If not, the evil one will have a field day with you, and his purpose for you to see your soul ruined for destruction. That's what he wants. Is this not a good reason to trust in the Lord? But now, let me give you the sixth reason for trusting in the Lord, namely, his eternal security. And again, we go back to our text psalm. It makes it very clear, the Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore, verse 8. You see, dear people, we are a going out and a coming in type of people. This is so natural in our everyday life, isn't it? We go out in the morning in order to go to work, and we come in again when we come home at night. We make our exits and we make our entrances. And we can say this of everyday life. And we can say this of our whole life as well. We go out in our youth into life, and to begin life, and we come in at a certain point, often old age, to die. How good it is then to know that the Lord preserves us throughout this whole time, when we come in and when we go out. But now again, there is also a spiritual side to this, to our going out and to our coming in. We are constantly going out from the presence of the Lord in order to serve him wherever he wants us to be. And then we come in again into the very presence of the Lord God himself to report to him and to worship him. And such reporting to the Lord and such worship of Him is most often done how? Through prayer. Through prayer. Our going out and our coming in can therefore also be referred to our daily conduct of godliness. And the Lord is most pleased, dear people, to preserve such going out and such coming in. In fact, He will preserve such going out and coming in even forevermore, so we are told. That means eternally, eternally. And so when life is done and you have entered eternity, your going out and your coming in will always be in the glorious presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will serve Him then in coming out or going out and coming in, and it will never end. It will be a constant moving towards Him and going out to tell others about Him again, going back to Him again to honor and praise Him. It constitutes eternal security. And is this not a good reason to trust in the Lord, dear people? Good reason. Well, now, I've given you six reasons for trusting in the Lord. And I hope that you are able to remember this. And I know that the six headings are also found in your bulletin. His present help, His moving support, His night watch, His full cover, His vital protection, and His eternal security. But now the question is this. What does it now mean to trust in the Lord? What does it mean for you and for me? Well, the Bible tells us, for instance, in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trusting in the Lord, therefore, means putting no confidence in self. No confidence in self. Therefore, do not rely on yourself. Do not rely on others around you either. Do not think that you are doing all right on your own and thinking that you can manage without the Lord's help. Because if you think that way, you are being misled either by the world or by the devil himself. Don't think also that you are smart enough to help yourself. Because if you think so, you are actually fooling yourself. Positively then, what does it mean to trust in the Lord? It means having full confidence in Him and in Him alone to do what is right and what is good for you at any particular time in life. And dear people, you and I, we have no reason not to trust in Him. You have no reason ever to consider Him to be untrustworthy. No one on his deathbed has ever confessed, "The Lord deceived me. I trusted in the Lord, but He let me down." Nothing like that was ever heard throughout the centuries. In the history of this world's population, there's no record of anyone ever confessing such a thing, "The Lord deceived me." On the other hand, it is on record that men and women, even some great men and great women, on their deathbed, have actually expressed regret for not having listened to what they were once taught in Sunday school, for instance, or in their catechism classes, or from the pulpit in their church. Regret from having turned away from the Lord, regret from having turned away from His Word and considering to be nothing of value for them. Regret because it was too late, so they thought, too late for them to change. Dear people, it is not too late to change. Not too late. You have many reasons, at least six, to trust in the Lord. Think of it. If He, in love for you, I'm speaking now of the Lord Jesus Christ, if He, in love for you, has sacrificed himself, has sacrificed his life, has sacrificed his flesh, has spilled his blood for you. He is worthy of your and my trust, dear people. Proverbs 29, verse 25 promises, whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. And so I end with this question, dear friend, young or old, and answer that for yourself. Are you safe? Amen. Let us close with prayer of thanksgiving. O Lord, our God, we thank you for Psalm 121, in which we have received guidance and pointers to you, who is totally trustworthy, that we may place our trust in you and in you alone, and therefore grant that our faith will be strengthened, and that we may be encouraged to know that it is good to follow you, that even when we go through dark times, you will not cause us to stumble, you will even carry us. We do pray for those who are still walking on their own and who feel that they are confident in self. Lord, teach them that it is only by you and by you alone that they can walk and that they can serve in a way that's pleasing to you. And therefore, look them up. Cause them to seek the Lord Jesus Christ while it's still the day of grace, that they may find salvation in you and in you alone. And therefore, bless us, we pray. Be with us now as we go home. Please take care of us. Grant us a good rest and bring us back safely again later on this day as we will reflect upon how we are to prepare our hearts for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Make all things well. Please forgive the sins that were committed even this hour as we were in this sanctuary. Blot them out through that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and bless us because we trust in you and feel safe with you. In Jesus' name, amen.